Welcome back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I got Troublemakers on the set. It is my 31st anniversary today. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. You're going to be the one that wins the $1 million before it's all over. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and with their nation, 866-90-NATION. Give them a call. Get 0% financing. You get two free. Buy two, get two free. All right.
Scratchers?
You're 18 years of age. There's one for you. I feel like Santa Claus, one for you, one for John Allen as well. Cheetah Shock, rock and roll royalty from the band The Go-Go's, but most importantly from the band Scratch and Sniff.
You bet.
George Kadelis is here from Beyond Words and Scratch and Sniff, and John Allen is here pretty much as a referee and as my childhood friend. So we have Colgate and Eastwood both represented here. We got Oaklawn Cemetery represented on the backside and crossing Blackwell.
What did you call your neighborhood?
Well, we call it Dundalk, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, you're just across Eastern Avenue from us.
It didn't have a name.
No. It wasn't Graceland Park, right? That was my great-grandmother's
house.
We didn't
say Graceland Park. That was up on the hill where Chuck was.
Right.
Right.
No,
so
we were at the bottom of the hill.
You were just 45th Street.
I love your national hat. That's so gorgeous.
He wore it for you. He told me that.
Oh, I love that. It's so nice.
All right, so the last time we were together, you blew in like a hurricane and out. You're signing books. You got a book out. We'll get to all of that. But most importantly, I don't usually ask women to lift their shirts on the show or whatnot.
Woo!
But I'm going to ask the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer to show us
Jug City.
Jug City. So you know we're in Dundalk.
Jug City. Jug City.
That legitimizes her. It's where she said, you say it the right way.
What?
Dundalk.
You say
how you say it.
All right, so you don't know this.
Nobody knows that it's a place in Ireland, but
I've been there. It's wonderful. I've been there.
I've thought about going. Honestly,
I had the most wonderful Sunday roast there, and I met this wonderful man who sent us a box of Dundalk stuff from Dundalk, Ireland. 2 months later, this wonderful Irish man. So here's the story. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Joyce, Johnny, and I get together frequently. We're friends, and he doesn't admit it, but we're friends in real life. And we do things off the record. We don't even go on Facebook with her, nothing. And we're together, and we started talking about Joyce because we both were taught by Joyce. And we said, I said, give me her number. I want to get together with her.
She's spreading the love,
so
man.
So 4 or 5 years ago, six of us, me and my wife Jen, John and his wife Erin, George and Joyce, we all get Indian food down in Columbia. And we're just BSing like about life and this and that. And I said something about wanting you on or drumming or something like that. And George lit up. He's like, you know, I was in a band with Cheetah Shock. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't know this. And you know how I'm goofy about you. I've always wanted you on the show and bucket list. We went through that last time. And he said, I can get Gina on the show. And this is 5 years ago. I'm like, do it. So I bugged Joyce for years. And the day you showed up with Donna Jean Rumbly 6 weeks ago in town, I gave her hell. I'm like, she's here and she's not on my show. Blah, 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 blah. So all of this happened. But more than that, Johnny and I were together about a year and a half ago, and he had just watched her documentary.
Oh.
And he said, have you seen that Go-Go's documentary? I'm like, no. He's like, Gina Shock. And I'm like, I've been trying to get her on a show, Joyce. And we went through this. And he's like, dude, the minute she says Dundalk, you're going to know you are the most Baltimore of Baltimore people. How much time have you really spent here over the last 4 years?
I have tried to retain my Dundalk accent forever and ever. You know, sometimes I sit in the mirror and watch my mouth move when I say words. Practicing so that my mouth moves the right way, you know, for, you know, going to go down the shore, going down the ocean, things like that.
God, it's a beautiful sound that you make.
Isn't that pretty?
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
Isn't that pretty?
That's pretty.
No, the truth is when I drink, it gets way more pronounced. my accent gets really pronounced then. But I've tried to retain it, honestly, because I always want to remember where I'm from because I'm proud of where I'm from.
Well, we're proud
authentic,
of you.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
really
what?
Are.
I'm so glad I grew up in this town. I grew up where I did. I had the best childhood, good friends, people that I'm still really close with.
Like this one.
You bet. George, there you go, right off the bat. We've known each other a long time.
Yep.
And 45
years.
He told a story before you got here about showing up at your house at 45th Street, going upstairs, pink curtains, drum kit, big old fat drums. Is that true? All this is true?
Well, yeah, because my parents were like angels. They let me set that drum kit up in my bedroom, and we had a, I think I said, told you, a trundle bed. Isn't that what it's called? Trundle
right.
bed, yeah.
Right.
So that I had some place to sleep. I could open it up if a friend came over, whatever. But I had to have room to put those drums, so I put them in my bedroom. And I had to have it close to my stereo so that I could put headphones
play along.
And play with my records, right?
Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the way we set it up, and that's how I learned how to play drums. That's when I brought George over and showed him my setup, my pro setup.
Imagine being him. Give me this sword.
How did we meet, George?
Not in the Village Voice in an ad.
We're trying to remember. I don't remember. Somebody introduced us. Danny?
Oh, it would have been Danny Brown. God rest his
Danny
soul.
Brown.
I can't believe Danny's gone.
Yeah, Danny was a singer, and he passed in October.
Wow.
Yeah, 67.
So Danny says, I know this girl in Dundalk who bangs on the drums.
Right.
And he told me he'd never met a girl who was a drummer at that time in life, right?
Well, there weren't a lot around at that particular time, but...
Right.
Wait a minute, I got to tell you one more story about Danny, because we passed that Vulcan, that...
Vulcan
Heart. Yeah, yeah.
Right, Danny Brown worked there, and I think he cut his finger off or something at the Vulcan.
Did he really?
Yeah, I remember that. Don't ask me why, but I just saw that, and I thought, oh, God, Danny Brown cut part of his finger off there, and then it was
like
oh,
this?
My God, Danny's gone. I can't believe it. Oh, like that.
Yeah, just
He's
like this.
Stubby.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
Stubby.
Did you work at Vulcan?
No, I didn't. This is Lawnmower, Dundalk, 73.
Oh. Yeah.
Before that.
Put on to see
that
if
makes
it was
sense.
City
yeah.
Hospital stitched it back together, though. So,
and
I mean,
look at that job
right,
they
I had
did.
To go past
good
your
job.
House. I had to go past your house to get there. Did you come back for holiday? I mean...
I never missed... In my entire life, never missed one Christmas at my parents' home since I left in 1979.
You have... See, I never knew that. Like, you literally have been walking among us every holiday. You literally.
Since 79.
Why are you down low
well,
here?
Well, wait a minute. Since 79, wait, since I've been born.
Right.
Of course, yeah. Okay. But
I continued moved, the tradition of being right. there for Christmas always.
Yeah.
No matter where I was, I would fly home to be home for Christmas with Mom and Dad. And if I had to fly out the next day to do a show, whatever, I did it. But I was always home with them because it wouldn't be Christmas unless I was home with my family. You know what I mean?
Right.
So even though my mom and dad aren't here, I'm at the house and feeling warm and beautiful being in the space where I grew up, and my dad's handiwork is everywhere in that.
Yep.
Wendell went up into the attic, which my father converted into another room. He converted into like a bedroom for my... Have you seen the attic?
Not the attic.
Oh, man. Shit. You're going to die.
I'm afraid you
It's
me
so
in there.
Beautiful.
It doesn't have the pink curtains anymore.
No, it's all woodwork. He did all beautiful wooden floors and cabinets.
That's a lot of knotty pine in that house.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And so Wendell, God bless him, he stayed up all night and cleaned the entire upstairs, the attic, out and brought it all downstairs. So I was up till 3 or 4 in the morning crying and looking at stuff that he brought down, and we were both crying. And
John told me this was going to be tough for you. John said to me an hour ago, he's like, we got to be careful here with you, but your bandmates, I've done a little work on you, I've gone documentary search, they all like beat on you at a sit down for Variety about being a pack rat, that you keep everything. Is that true?
I keep it, but I keep it in order. I'm a real true Virgo. I keep everything in its place. Everything is, you ought to see the house. I already started cleaning.
Yeah.
Already started cleaning the house. Yeah, yeah.
I had to just get a guy with a dumpster and let them clean out my parents' house. I couldn't do it because I'd be all day. I'd be going through
well,
that stuff
you know
and looking
what,
at memories.
John,
and
I have to do that. And
no,
it's,
you have to.
You know, it's a process, and
yeah.
it's okay, and I'm going to do it, and it'll make me feel better and more connected and make me feel like what's funny is like when my parents both are gone now, it's weird, but I'm not afraid of death anymore.
Yeah.
Because I feel like wherever they are, whatever that is, if I can just be with them, it'll be great.
Well, you're with them right now.
I think they're with, yeah, I feel like there's a part of me with them right now, but, you know, I feel comfortable about passing when I die. I think, you know, I feel okay now.
How's the book doing, man? This is, you're signing
does
books.
Well. The
I
book
want to promote
well.
This thing because you're singing. Are you going to sing Our Lips Are Sealed? What songs are we doing?
I don't know. I'm gonna play drums on Middle of Nowhere, right?
We're going to figure this out.
We're going to figure it out.
Right.
So, Hard Rock on the 28th.
We just got together here, Nestor. We're trying to figure this out.
2 weeks from, literally, less than 2 weeks, on the 28th, I'm inviting everybody down. 100.7 is doing a big event. You're signing books. You're going to play some music with some friends of mine and Wendell, and I tried to put some friends together. But
yes, and I'm really grateful because everybody that I'm meeting through you and through George and all are all like incredible musicians and sort of Baltimore legends. So
I It's going to be a great day. It really is fun.
We just got to remember to have fun and not be too serious because I'm, right. you know what, I lose my mind. Everything's got to be so perfect, and I got to leave that hat at the front door and just have a good time. It's Christmas time. We're going to play some songs. We're going to have some fun, you know, and, you know, I don't know. We'll do... Let's do some interesting choices, I think.
Sure.
We should.
What's your favorite Go-Go song? You have one? Or they're all... Come on.
I don't know.
You don't pick one?
No. I don't know.
Girl of 100 Lists. That's perfect for you.
Huh?
Girl of 100 Lists.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Well, I'm really pleased to be in a band that has done so well and had great songwriters and, you know... It's all been really good, so I'm grateful. And I mean, I don't know. I've played those songs so many times. I always like This Town. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted you to sing a one.
I like Get Up and Go. I don't know.
Gina Schock is here. We're at Costas. John Allen is here. George Contilis as well. The original band was Scratch and Sniff. John, what do you know? What did you know before you started researching for this segment about Scratch and Sniff and about Gina? And because we didn't know much. You and I have been here forever, and we feel like you're a bit of a mystery.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God, you guys. You got to come over to the house. Wait till you see all the Scratch and Sniff stuff we found.
Did you
all
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, we got a lot of
Look
cool.
at him blushing.
So you guys played the Marble Bar.
That was our claim to fame.
Right. And where else? What was around
remember.
Then?
Do you
remember?
A couple places, right?
Couple places,
No Fish
yeah.
Today, maybe, or
no,
something? Or
nothing's
not
still there, including the Marble Bar, right?
The Brooklyn Park Rec Center, right? Tell me that story.
The Brooklyn Park Rec Center.
Right?
You played the Brooklyn Park Rec Center?
Yeah, that was when I called in, remember?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he told
that was the Leonard Skinner story.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, the Leonard
Tell
Skinner
that one again.
Story.
The audience didn't hear that because you were off mic. So you had a story when you called. We were at Drug City.
Right.
And to tell that story in its entirety.
One of the early shows we played, we borrowed a van from somebody, packed everything in it, and everybody got to Brooklyn Park Rec Center, which is like a cinder block Alcatraz, pulled out front, and people were standing around and said, "Are you any good?" And we said, "Yeah, we think we are." So we got in, played, and played, and somebody yells, "Leonard Skinner!" And Gina yelled, "They're dead!"
I made friends immediately.
That's how you make friends in Adirondack County.
And here's the thing. We got
they
out after the show. We got out, and two of the tires were flat. Not slashed, just flat.
So they
sending
weren't
a
that
message.
Pissed off.
Right.
Yeah, there's, that wasn't Dundalk pissed off.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't have a knife.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. So, I bet they did.
Here's a good story. When we did a demo, and this was on Eastern Avenue. I don't know if you remember this. RMT, Real Musical Talent.
Was it behind Petros?
It might have been. Was it? No, it was right on the street, right?
It
was next to Petros. Sorry. It was the same block, I think. Wasn't it?
Could have been.
Maybe.
It was in that little...
On Eastern Avenue? Gus Ryan? Right across from the post office.
Yeah. It was next door to it. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Where the steakhouse is. Michael's was
Real
kind
Musical
right
Talent?
There.
Is that what
it was called? RMT. Hmm. Had this good old boy in there, and he's got the headphones on. And so we started
I'm remembering
playing.
This. Oh, my God.
So
we
started playing Rawhide. For Rawhide, Danny would... kind of like had his own lane to go in. He was a little bit too, I don't know what.
Danny was a little over the top with everything. That's why he was a singer.
So, this was about S&M. So Danny, I'm playing very
Whips
quiet.
Was this about 78, 77, 78?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, S&M's been around longer than that. But I just
right. But he's still, you're playing acoustic guitar in the beginning
right.
of it, right?
So it's real pretty in the front.
Oh,
Danny's
no, it was
singing
like,
over it. And then it comes in with this thing. It's kind of like Blue Cheer. Or, you know, or like Nirvana.
Like real muff.
And the
like
poor
big
guy's head snaps back and the headphones fly off. And he's like, Jesus Christ, you got to let me know when you're going to do that. So, do you remember that?
I don't remember that particular thing, but I remember that place.
That's what happened. So we had to start over. He was like, let me adjust the levels. And yeah, okay.
What do you remember about Scratch and Sniff?
Real?
Gina.
Real Musical Talent.
Yeah.
I just can't get over the name.
Real Musical
Talent. That's got me. That's really got me.
That's catchy.
Scratch and Sniff. I remember we rehearsed a lot in Chuck's basement.
Yep.
Right?
Let me ask you this. So Chuck's basement, he was on the park, And we would play, and it would always be loud. Right?
Patterson Park?
No, no. What was the name of that park? You said it
Graceland.
Was
Graceland Park. Oh. Right at the top of the hill.
Oh,
right.
Harbor
back
View.
In the cemetery.
Harbor View.
Right. Okay.
Harbor
right.
View. We used to go,
the
used to go there and drink beer.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And
that's right.
Watch
yeah.
fireworks. Well, you can see the fireworks great from up the hill in the city.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Down Fayette Avenue. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
But his mom and dad lived there, right? So, I mean, and I think, I don't know if any of the siblings lived there. A lot of siblings. But it was loud, and they could never, like, when they had to get our attention, they would just turn the lights off.
So my dad used to do when I was banging on the drums
yeah,
in the basement.
So I would think I was having an aneurysm.
Lights, yeah,
I was
yeah,
like, what
yeah,
the
yeah.
heck's going on? So, and then the cops would come.
Yeah.
And I got noise complaints. They'd say, what are you guys doing? Then we start to play, and it's like, he would just sit and watch.
The cop?
It was cool, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, the cop that showed up, he became like a fan of the band.
Yeah.
He liked it.
You gotta love it.
That's
know?
The way cops used to be. They'd catch you with a six-pack, they'd dump it out and say, go home.
Right.
They didn't put you in
that
jail
That was the county
then.
Cops, though, right?
That was
yeah,
county,
yeah.
Cops.
County cops.
You're right.
I was familiar with them.
Yeah.
We drank at Colgate Elementary. Believe me. You know, believe me, we did.
Oh, my God.
So, Scratch and Sniff and the legend of that band and punk rock. And Gene, I want to talk to you a little bit about the documentary and stuff, because in the beginning, the Go-Go's and all of these bands you were attracted to were punk and different and no rules. Literally no rules
yeah,
for
well
the bands, right?
That's sort of the way we were. That was our mindset at the time, you know? We wanted to shake things up.
And you
shake
did.
Them up. We wanted to do that, you know, and push the limits. And so, and when we did songs, we would, like, we would do, would we do two sets of covers, George, and two sets of originals?
Right.
Yeah, so we got to play our own music.
What were the covers, though? What
I
were
was
you,
telling them earlier, the covers we did were different.
They were different.
Well, Rawhide, you know.
Well, no, we wrote that, yeah.
Oh, it was your own song. It
oh,
wasn't
yeah.
the cover.
Yeah.
It wasn't the one from the Blues Brothers movie.
Wasn't gonna
no, Rawhide!
Right, wasn't going to spend money. Right.
No,
we did Patti Smith. We did Ask the Angels, right?
Ask the Angels. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We did, we did like 7 or 8 minute Bowie medley.
We had to do a Roxy music.
Yeah, I wore this for
Roxy
you guys.
Music, really? Don't you think?
I wore my Bowie belt tonight. I wore Heart for you last time.
Oh,
I wore Bowie for thinking
that's
you guys.
A Diamond Dogs one. That's
you guys,
Diamond Dogs.
Yeah, it is Diamond Dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I figured you guys were probably Bowie people.
Right.
When
of
I'm
course.
Thinking Scratch and
we
Sniff,
had to do
Bowie
right.
was inspirational
something.
For you guys.
Yeah. Oh, we did a Bowie medley.
We
right?
did a medley, yeah. Right. So it was, you know, Rebel and. Jeez, a whole bunch of, you know, we just strung them together, figured out how they worked.
Now, he was a guitar player then, though, and you were the drummer,
yeah, right.
and then he became
is
a drummer.
An incredible guitar player. I still can't believe that he plays drums.
I do.
But he was a guitar player. Really good guitar player.
I only know him as a drummer.
Oh, my God. The stuff that... See,
secrets
the stuff
that you learn.
The stuff that we would shoot... Well, not we. I... Chuck and George would choose, actually, the songs, or would make the suggestions, let's put it that way.
That's good.
And I always went along with it, and they, like, opened me up to, like, I mean, I can't believe that we were doing Roxy music and, like, Brian Eno stuff we wanted to do. What
right.
else?
Right,
like,
Baby's on Fire.
Baby's on Fire.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was off of Here Come the Warm Jets.
Here Come
it
the Warm
great.
Jets, one of my favorite records still. Yeah, you really turned me on to Brian Eno's solo stuff, which I'm forever grateful, George.
It's great. Yeah. We were trying to think what
and
else.
Wait,
we did
Genesis, okay? I never listened to Genesis. They turned me on to Genesis.
Lamb Lies Down, that sort
and
of era.
Lamb Lies Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John was listening to, like, Balls to the Wall from a set. John Allen is here, George Cadillus, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Gina Shock. So, John, I mean, you and I had talked about, like, the band and the legend of Gina, and you were in it. It is amazing to me. In my childhood, I didn't know a lot of... When the band broke, I was 13, 14, Our Lips Are Sealed. I remember all of that. But there was not this tremendous buzz that you're spending holidays in Dundalk. Like, I never saw a store in the Dundalk Eagle. I never saw you on the local... No. Like, literally, it took a long, long time before I realized you were A, from Baltimore, B, from my neighborhood, and more than that, you have this lovely accent and memories of the Penguins at East Point Mall.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, back then, I didn't announce that I was coming home because I didn't want it to be any kind of bullshit.
Circus, yeah.
Happening at the house, because we already had people calling my mother and sending stuff, and she would answer the phone and let people in and show them all the gold records and all that. I was like, Mom, you can't do that. You you can't do that, you know? I mean, so yeah. I would always really lay low.
Right. Your fame was not understandable to your family, maybe to some degree.
Right. The story I remember was that the postman or the postwoman would ask, people would ask them, where do the Shocks live? And they would figure out which house it was, and then they would go knock on the door because the mailman knew.
Mailman knows all the secrets.
Right.
He knows where the bodies are buried.
Fame's weird like that, though, right? I mean, fame's weird like that. They don't really want you or want anything. They just want to, like, say that's where it is, and they want to go meet your parents, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was...
Maybe.
Well, yeah, who
maybe.
Knows?
Maybe, obviously,
but, you know,
right.
A lot of
right.
crazy things have happened, you know, and back then were happening still, but I just wanted to... my mom and dad were just so proud. They just wanted the whole world to know. And so, but you have to be careful,
right.
you know, because everybody in our band had stalkers. We you know, there was a lot of crap that went on back then, and I wanted to protect them. And so I would lay real low when I came home.
Yeah.
It wasn't about going out. It was about being with my mother and father and my brother and my small group of friends.
So what's Christmas like at the Shocka? Give me, did you do kielbasa and sauerkraut on Christmas like we do?
I mean, yes, kielbasa and sauerkraut.
Oh.
Ostrowski's, they went down.
Yeah. Ostrowski's. Well, we're related to them.
This is
that's
right.
our
yeah.
second cousins. Ostrowski's,
really?
Yeah. Stacy Stanowich's, we went to high school. We went to Catholic High together.
You got your Catholic High ring on?
No, this is my mother's
oh,
high school
I thought
ring.
That was
IND. My
IND.
Mom's IND ring, yeah.
I thought you were wearing a Catholic High ring.
No,
it's
mine
even
got stolen. Mine got stolen on New Year's Eve. Jane and I went to see Ultravox at the Roxy. No, at the Whiskey. 1979 going into 80, or was it 80 going into 81? Whatever. It was 80 going into 81, and Jane and I were living in an apartment on Hollywood Boulevard, and we went to see Ultravox at the Whiskey a Go-Go. We came back, and I put my key in the door, and it just opened up. And I was like, oh, Christ, somebody might be in there. Well, anyway, we got robbed, and they stole, like, aww. All of our jewelry and any cash that we had. And it was my high school ring and my mother's wedding ring, which that really upset me. But I do have my mom's high school ring, yeah, my grandfather's watch, my grandmother's wedding band. Yeah, I try to keep all these things on my person.
You're really, I mean, you're related to the Ostrowskis of Bank Street of every kielbasa I've ever had?
Excuse me, Rosie. Wasn't Stacy Stanowich family or relatives of the Ostrowskis?
Yeah, well, we're all related in East Baltimore.
Well, wait, telling you.
We're going with yes.
Yeah.
I'm
going to say yeah because
I
know.
Totally believe you.
No, my mother, my father's, I don't know how it was, but we're related. Second or third cousins something.
It'll be on my dinner
Stacy
table next
Stanowich's
week.
Mother and father are related to the Ostrowskis, and we're related to them. Somehow, I don't know. We're all Polacks, that's all I
know. Yeah, well, there you go. That's important. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back here. I want to talk about the book. I want to talk about signings. I want to talk about what you've been doing the last 8 weeks, all right?
All right.
Gina Shocks here. She started drinking and eating my crab cakes. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. John Allen, George Candelas, talking rock and roll. We'll come back and wrap things up here on my 31st anniversary.
Woo, 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 woo.
From Costas
Happy birthday, Daddy.
Yeah.